Good evening, everyone. I'm Linor Mudu. Welcome to Health Chat. On the brink of eradication, a dreaded disease has returned to strike in Africa. The Nigerian government revealed that two children have been paralyzed by wild polio in northern Borno State. The shocking revelation came on August 11, which marked the two-year anniversary since the last confirmed case of polio was reported in Africa. Nigerian officials are collaborating with the World Health Organization and other partners of the Global Polio Eradication Initiative to quickly prevent more children from being paralyzed. We will take a look at where we stand in the fight against polio and what is happening in Nigeria. And on the program today, we will talk to our guest, Tunji Funsho. He is Rotary's National Polio Plus Committee Chair for Nigeria. And we'll talk to Mr. Funsho in a moment. But first, VOA's Chiko Odua has this report on polio in Nigeria.
The two new cases in Borno State were discovered within days of what was supposed to be a major milestone for Nigeria, 2 years without a case of wild polio. It would have started a 12-month countdown to Nigeria and the rest of Africa being certified polio-free. But instead, the battle continues. The Ministry of Health, in partnership with UNICEF and the World Health Organization, is launching an operation to vaccinate 5 million children in the Northeast, including 1 million in Borno State, which is the heart of the Boko Haram insurgency. Children in areas controlled by Boko Haram did not have access to polio vaccinations during the past 2 years. In 2013, gunmen killed 9 polio immunization workers. The attack was blamed on Boko Haram. UNICEF said the connection between the conflict and these fresh polio cases cannot be denied. Nigerian Ministry of Health media officer Olajide Oshundu told VOA the ministry is working hard to mitigate risk during this new vaccination drive.
There's nothing the Ministry of Health will do there without the knowledge and cooperation of the military. So they have already been informed. They will be part of the team that will go around to guarantee safety of the health workers.
The issue goes beyond polio response. On July 28th, just 2.5 weeks ago, unidentified assailants attacked a UN humanitarian convoy traveling from Bama to the Borno State capital, Maiduguri. The attack prompted the United Nations to temporarily suspend aid operations. Nearly 250,000 children in Borno State suffer from life-threatening malnourishment, and around 1 in 5 will die if they do not receive treatment, according to UNICEF. Doctors Without Borders has maintained a permanent presence in Borno State since 2014, working to address malnutrition and diseases like cholera and measles. Doctors Without Borders media officer Shaista Aziz says security precautions slow down work.
We're working in a volatile area. We're working in an area where there's a lot of people on the move. So security is a concern, not only for us and for our teams, but also for everybody else.
Nigeria's health ministry has not offered a timeline for the polio vaccination drive. Officials say the important thing is to get as many children as they can immunized as soon as possible. Chika Odua for VOA News, Abuja.
And that was Chika Odua. And we are having some difficulties reaching Tunji Funsho, who is Rotary's National Polio Plus Committee Chair for Nigeria. So in the meantime, when the outbreak broke, the news of the outbreak broke, I spoke to Dr. Steve Kochi about his take on what is happening. And Dr. Kochi is senior advisor to the director of the Global Immunization Division with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Take a listen. Dr. Kochi, Nigeria marked 2 years in July without a case of wild polio, and as Africa was set to celebrate 2 years without the disease, two new polio cases were reported. What is your reaction to this?
Well, we are very disappointed because on this very day, August 11, we were prepared to celebrate polio-free Africa for 2 years, and so it does come as a disappointment. It is a setback, but we have to put this setback in context because we are at record low levels of polio in the world, only 21 cases in the entire world this year. And Nigeria and Africa have come a very long way in just a few years. Just want to remind people that back in 2012, Nigeria accounted for more than half of the polio cases in the world. So we have come a long way.
Some people were concerned about the follow-up. When there is no new transmission, there is a need for surveillance and other things that come into play. Was this to be expected somehow?
Well, I think there are two factors that are involved here, and they apply not just to Nigeria, but to a number of other countries in the world. It's very hard once a country becomes polio-free to sustain that energy, that political commitment, that motivation. And this sort of complacency risk is a threat to achieving and maintaining and sustaining polio eradication. The other factor that applies to Nigeria and the other two polio endemic countries in the world, Pakistan and Afghanistan, is insecurity. So these are the double threats to our completing polio eradication in the world. You're quite aware, and I think your listeners are aware, that insecurity has been a major factor, particularly in northeastern Nigeria, in Borno State, where these two new polio cases have just arisen. And it has been a worry. It has been a concern for the government of Nigeria and for all of the partners involved in polio eradication. So it is, of all the places in the world where polio might reappear, this is probably the number one place that was on people's minds and that kept people awake at night.
So then, Dr. Kochi, when we think about the issue of polio and we see that Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Nigeria 2 years ago were the countries that remain polio endemic for a while, how does polio threaten nations that are already declared polio-free?
Well, I think the main way that polio is a threat is that polio does not respect borders. Mm. Polio is carried from human beings across borders on airplanes to distant places. And so this is anytime there are polio cases occurring, they represent a threat to importation into polio-free countries. And that applies in this case because that border, that Nigerian border that Borno State has with Northern Cameroon, with Chad, and with Niger, represents a risk and a threat of importation of this virus to any one of those three countries. So we have to, as a program, and the government of Nigeria leading the effort, have to do an investigation and a very comprehensive and very aggressive response to wipe out the transmission of poliovirus, because it represents a threat not only to other states within Nigeria, but also to those bordering countries.
Now, the continent was just 1 year away from making the 3 years mark. What does this mean in terms of the efforts on the continent to being declared polio once and for all?
Well, I think that is going to be a topic of discussion over the next weeks and months, but it may very likely reset the clock, since the certification process, certifying regions as polio-free, is a region-wide effort. So if any one country in the region still has polio circulation, has polio transmission, then that circulation has to be interrupted before the clock can start again. So if in a good scenario, we can collectively intervene and stop this this polio outbreak in northeastern Nigeria, and by 2019, 3 years later, Africa and the world could be certified as polio-free. There's one other region of the world, the Eastern Mediterranean region of WHO, which includes Pakistan and Afghanistan, which would have to stop polio transmission by the end of this year in order to, 3 years later, meet the criteria for certification that that region is polio-free.
And speaking of Pakistan and Afghanistan, I know you spoke about it, but if you can just give us a little more in terms of what is hindering progress in both countries and really what should be done at this point?
Well, in both of those countries, I think the major factor is very similar to that in that has existed in Nigeria, and that is insecurity. Now, the good news for Pakistan is that whereas just a few years ago there were roughly 350,000 or more children that were totally inaccessible along the border, the Pakistan-Afghanistan border, now that we're down to roughly 2,500 children that are inaccessible. So government of Pakistan has made amazing progress in freeing up those insecure areas and allowing access to virtually all children now to polio vaccination. And it has gotten results. As a result of that, Pakistan is at an all-time low and has only reported 13 cases of polio so far this year. In Afghanistan, we have the same issue with insecurity. Now, Afghanistan has only reported 6 cases so far this year. They have, because of more active Taliban activities during this calendar year, they have a larger problem with insecurity, and the numbers of children that are not reachable, that are inaccessible, has grown in Afghanistan to at least 350,000 children. So we have a kind of a time bomb in Afghanistan that's not unlike that which we have been worrying about in Borno.
And that was Dr. Steve Kochi. Due to some technical difficulties, we have to stop our broadcast for now, and we will be with you very soon. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't go away. Thank you. Welcome back to Health Chat. It's time for the news with Sanusi Diallo. Take it away.
The Zika virus has been found in the semen of an Italian man 6 months after his first symptoms, twice as long as in previously reported cases. Doctor at the Spallanzini Institute for Infectious Disease in Rome say it pointed to the possibility that the virus was reproducing itself in a male genital tract. Current guidelines recommend infected patients should be use condom or abstain from sex for at least 6 months after the onset of the symptom. The doctors say, in light of the new evidence, an extension of this recommendation might be advised, as well as the continued testing of semen after 6 months. Zika is spread by mosquitoes and is suspected of leading to babies being born with underdeveloped brain. Nigeria's health ministry has kicked off a polio vaccination campaign in the northeast after two fresh cases of the virus were discovered there earlier this month. The two new cases in Borno State were discovered within days of what was supposed to be a major milestone for Africa, 2 years without a case of wild polio. The Ministry of Health, in partnership with UNICEF and the World Health Organization, is planning to vaccinate 5 million children in the northeast, including 1 million in Borno State, which is the heart of the Boko Haram insurgency. A new study says viruses are more dangerous when they infect the victims in the morning. The research by the University of Cambridge shows viruses were 10 times more successful if the infections started in the morning. In the studies, mice were infected with either influenza, which causes flu, or herpes virus, which can cause a range of disease, including cold sores. The mice infected in the morning had 10 times the viral level of those infected in the evening. The researchers say the finding could lead to new ways of stopping pandemics. And that's the wrap-up of the latest health news.
Thank you, Sanusi, for the news. And we continue our show today. We are discussing polio in light of the latest two outbreaks in Nigeria. And earlier, we spoke to Dr. Steve Kochi, Senior Advisor to the Director of the Global Immunization Division with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And we continue to listen to my discussion with Dr. Kochi. Take a listen. I wanted to ask you about vaccine-derived polio. We saw that last year in September, Ukraine had a couple of cases, and there have been cases of vaccine-derived polio sporadically on the continent of Africa. How much of a threat is vaccine-derived polio in the global fight against polio?
Well, it's an ever-present threat, but I think the good news here is in the past several months, the vaccine-derived poliovirus outbreaks have waned and have been terminated. We have no active outbreaks going on right now. So it's been pretty quiet on the vaccine-derived poliovirus front. So that's why we were particularly disappointed to learn of the two new Nigeria wild virus cases, because everything was looking quite encouraging, both from the standpoint of wild poliovirus as well as vaccine-derived poliovirus.
Could you give us a little more in terms of where we stand with regards to the type of vaccines that are being used today that are deemed effective to contain polio?
We haven't seen the type 2 wild poliovirus since 1999. That's one of the three poliovirus types. And in 2015, yes, the Global Certification Commission certified the world as free from wild poliovirus type 2. So that made it possible for us to remove the type 2 virus from the 3-in-1 or trivalent oral polio vaccine. And this was accomplished over a very short period of 2 to 3 weeks in April of this year. And amazingly, 155 countries that have been using the trivalent oral poliovirus vaccine withdrew that vaccine, all of the stocks in use, and replaced it with a bivalent vaccine consisting only of the types 1 and 3. So that amazing logistical challenge was achieved. And I think that's just a very strong example of the continued progress that we have made in the march toward completing the job of polio eradication.
Now, Dr. Kochi, the Global Polio Eradication Initiative has been successful in reducing polio cases by at least 99% since 1988, according to statistics. What type of collaborative effort was required to succeed?
Well, I think one of the key measures of success here is that there has been a very strong global partnership ever since the World Health Assembly resolved to eradicate polio back in 1988. There are five core partners, WHO leading the effort, UNICEF, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Rotary International, which is the by far the largest private sector partner. And the fifth partner that has in recent years become very deeply involved is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, mm-hmm. with the leadership of Mr. Bill Gates and his advocacy.
And what is the role, the specific role of the CDC in this partnership?
Well, the CDC plays a key role in the surveillance, including the laboratory surveillance for polio cases, okay. and outbreak in assisting WHO and partners and governments in outbreak investigation and response, such as in this example in Nigeria, and providing some of the scientific and epidemiological underpinnings for the program.
Now, before we wrap up, let me ask you about people that are displaced because of conflict. When we think about refugee camps and other victims of conflict, how do we reach this population that is often located in places that are dangerous? I know you talked about insecurity, but what kind of strategies are in place or should be put in place to reach these populations?
This is a very good question, and it represents one of the biggest challenges we face in completing the job in Nigeria and in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Internally displaced persons who may go to refugee camps, they are accessible. They can be reached with multiple rounds of polio mass vaccination. The inaccessible areas, one has to depend on, given that these are usually volatile situations, on being opportunistic. And when the insecurity temporarily wanes, using that opportunity to go into those geographic areas with vaccination teams and reach and vaccinate the children who reside there. Another strategy that has been employed in Nigeria and elsewhere is reaching children and their families when they're on the move by having vaccination sites along major border crossings, major highways, bus depots, and the like. So one has to be creative and innovative and find opportunities to reach those inaccessible children.
Your final thoughts, Dr. Kochi, perhaps what will it take to end polio once and for all globally?
Well, I think we have to remind ourselves that we're closer than ever, and although this Nigeria situation does represent a setback, we have had many setbacks along the path to polio eradication, and we are very close, and I feel confident that we can, working with the government of Nigeria and also with the governments of Afghanistan and Pakistan, we can once and for all snuff out the final resting places for polio virus. It has very few places left now to hide, and I think that is the greatest potential for success. There's almost nowhere else that the polio virus can hide except those three places.
Dr. Steve Kochi, thank you so much for joining us on The Voice of America.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And that was Dr. Steve Cauchi with the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. And now we are going to go to Cameroon and listen to this report by VOA's reporter Kinzaka. He talks about some of the challenges that are faced by the country to prevent polio outbreak. Take a listen.
43-year-old Clarice Tomta has refused to allow vaccination agents to inoculate two of her children, both under 5 years of age. She describes the anti-polio campaign as unnecessary. She says it is becoming suspicious when Cameroon organizes so many vaccination campaigns against polio, knowing fully well that many mothers are educated enough and master their vaccination calendars. She says many more Cameroonians die of poverty and should be given more consideration. Dr. Nuna Desiree of Cameroon's expanded vaccination program says despite the resistance, which he says is a result of misinformation, fear and suspicion, they will not stop until they vaccinate the 5 million children age 5 and under they are targeting.
Malgré la multitude de campagnes que nous avons organisées, il est toujours resté plus
de 7%. He says, in spite of the multitude of inoculation campaigns they have organized, more than 7% of Cameroonian children are not vaccinated, far more than 5% limit the World Health Organization recommends. He says all children they have not been able to vaccinate are at risk of contracting polio. In 2014, the WHO listed Cameroon among the 10 countries with active wild poliovirus and ranked it among the top 4 countries posing the greatest threat of exporting the crippling virus to other countries. In March of 2015, Cameroon attained the status of a non-polio exporting country after it hit the 6 month mark without a new case. But the WHO says the Central African state is still considered a high-risk nation with pockets of resistance. Moki Edwin Kinzaka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
And that was reporter Edwin Kinzeka in Yaoundé. Now, our newsreader, Sanusi Diallo, is here with us. And Sanusi, you know, when we talk about the whole issue of polio, it's amazing how some people don't even realize that this disease is still around, right?
That is right. And starting myself, I can still believe that polio is still around today. Mm-hmm. Because I remember polio in the movies, mm-hmm. you know, or story that my aunties and uncle used to tell me back then. So after 30 years and still today we have a polio around, it's kind of alarming and wondering. You ask yourself, wow, really? After so many years and with all the technology that we have, all the improvement in terms of health and cure that we have done so far, we still have not been able to cure and end polio.
Yes. And like Dr. Cauchi said, when I asked him about when one country is still polio endemic, what does it mean for the rest of the world? It really is that polio knows no boundaries.
Right.
It can travel, right?
Right.
Even though there's way to prevent it through vaccine. But it's incredible.
It is.
Yeah. Thank you for your take, Sanusi, on this issue. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Health Chat on today's program. Thank you very much for joining us. And thanks to all our affiliates for being faithful to Health Chat. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou in Washington, with producer Kwame Ofori. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.